Leader of the Islamic Revolution hosts participants of the 26th International Islamic Unity Conference. Iranian president says Greater Middle East is a scheme hatched by West to save Zionists. Speaker of Iran's Majlis reiterated the Islamic Republic's support for the Syrian government and nation. Saudis protest in capital Riyadh, calling for release of prisoners. And Afghan president accused foreign powers of plotting against the war-wrecked country's peace process. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with my evening Mashitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the West has launched a new campaign to expand its presence on the African continent. Ayatollah Khamenei made a remark in an address to a group of Iranian officials and the foreign participants of the 26th International Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran. The leader said today the main policy of the global arrogance is to counter the wave of Islamic awakening, is to sow discord and pit Muslims and Islamic countries against each other. Ayatollah Khamenei described calamities in Pakistan, war and massacres in Syria, suppressing the people in Bahrain, and disagreements among Egyptian people as the consequences of disputes among Muslims. The leader added that any disagreement and dispute among Muslim nations or inside Islamic countries is definitely playing an accord that has been devised by the enemy. He said the only way to counter the enemy's scheme is to create unity among Muslim nations, as well as among groups, religions, and various factions in every Islamic country. The leader noted that differences between Muslims would overshadow the issue of Palestine and stressed the need for resistance against extortionist policies of the U.S. and the West. Ayatollah Khamenei also underlined that the new move that the Western governments have embarked on in Africa to dominate the African nations is the consequence of Muslims' differences and preoccupation with one another. The leader added that the wave of Islamic awakening, which started in Iran 35 years ago with the victory of the Islamic Revolution and is spreading across the Muslim world, is a sign of the realization of divine promises and the movement towards victory. The Iranian president says the Greater Middle East is a scheme hatched by the West in order to save the Zionists. In a meeting with the visiting chairman of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, Amir al-Hakim, in Tehran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, Arrogant powers have said time and again that they seek to create a greater Middle East and their sole objective is to save the Zionists and dominate the region once more. The president noted that the ongoing crises in the region are linked to the Western conspiracies which aim to guarantee their grip on regional states, stressing the need for regional nations to be vigilant against the enemy's plots aimed at stoking conflict among them. The Iranian president said, solidarity, integrity, and attention to people's conventional rights constitute the best solution to countering the enemy's conspiracies. He further stated that the regional governments should act in a way to support all people and restore their rights. For his part, Hakim stated that arrogant powers are intent on triggering ethnic and sectarian conflict in Iraq to reach their own objectives in the war-wrecked country. The Iranian Minister Speaker also held a meeting with the visiting head of Iraqi Supreme Islamic Council, where he recalled the enemy's plots to create discord among the Iranian and Iraqi nations. Ali Larijani added that the vigilant Iraqi nation would neutralize the conspiracies by avoiding differences. Describing the two countries' ties as friendly and brotherly, Larijani said, Iran and Iraq have common civilization and culture. Larijani also underlined the need to avoid disputes among the Iraqi tribes and groups. He further pointed out that Iran always favors further development of bilateral ties in all fields. Sayyid Amir al-Hakim, for his part, briefed Larijani on the latest developments in Iraq and said, the enemy's plots will be thwarted through the officials' prudence and nation's vigilance. Elsewhere, the Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the Parliament has reiterated the Islamic Republic's unwavering support for the Syrian government and nation. During a meeting with Grand Mufti of Syria, Sheikh Ahmad Badreddin Hassoun in Tehran, Ali Larijani said, "Nothing can obstruct the continuation of the Islamic Republic of Iran's all-out support for the Syrian nation and government under the current circumstances." Pointing to the ongoing crisis in Syria, Larijani added that instability in Syria would serve the interests of the Zionist regime. Hassoun, for his part, said, "Syria is being targeted because of its support for the oppressed people of Palestine against the aggression of the occupying regime of Tel Aviv." Syria has been experiencing unrest since March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security forces, have been killed in the turmoil. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of militants are foreign nationals. Syrian security forces have cleared a major suburb of the capital of the militants fighting against the government of President Bashar al-Assad. Earlier in the day, the Syrian army killed a large number of militants in the cities of Aleppo, Deir ez-Zor, and Hama. In addition, security forces killed a number of snipers in Yarmouk refugee camp on the outskirts of Damascus. In another news, Syrian security personnel in the northern city of Aleppo have discovered the bodies of more than 80 people, saying the victims were killed in execution style. The bodies of young men and boys were found in the Gawaik River in Aleppo's southwest. The area is under the control of the foreign-backed militants. Some of the bodies had their hands tied behind them, and the others appeared to have been shot in the head. A senior security source said many of the victims had previously been reported kidnapped. Damascus blames the West and its regional allies, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, for supporting the armed groups. Several international human rights organizations have accused the militants fighting the Syrian government of committing war crimes. Saudi protesters have once again taken to the streets in Riyadh, calling for the release of prisoners detained during anti-regime demonstrations. The demonstrators chanted slogans against the excessive use of force by Saudi forces in quelling anti-regime protests and condemned the Al Saud regime's suppressive actions against dissidents. According to Human Rights Watch, the Saudi regime routinely represses expression critical of the government. According to Saudi activists, most of the detained political thinkers are being held by the government without trial or legitimate charges, and that they were arrested for merely looking suspicious. In October, Saudi authorities warned that they would deal firmly with protests after hundreds of Saudis gathered outside Tafia prison north of the capital in September to demand the release of their relatives. Amnesty International has criticized Riyadh over the warning and urged the authorities to withdraw their threat. In Saudi Arabia, protests and political gatherings of any kind are prohibited. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution hosts participants of the 26th International Islamic Unity Conference. Iranian president says Greater Middle East is a scheme hatched by West to save Zionists. Speaker of Iran's Majlis reiterated the Islamic Republic's support for the Syrian government and nation. Saudis protest in capital Riyadh, calling for release of prisoners. And Afghan president accused foreign powers of plotting against the war-wrecked country's peace process. The chairman of Iran's Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission has slammed France for its interference in Iran's internal affairs, advising Paris to address the situation of political prisoners in the European country itself. Alaeddin Bougeri also denounced French Foreign Ministry spokesman Philippe Lelioute's remarks as a violation of diplomatic principles. He said, instead of improperly interfering in Iran's internal affairs, the spokesman of the French Foreign Ministry had better visit Paris prisons and end the deplorable situation of the political prisoners in France. Many protesters were arrested by the French police in 2012, when the government's plan to increase the minimum retirement age from 60 to 62 led to widespread demonstrations and coordinated strikes. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has accused foreign powers of plotting against the war-wrecked country's peace process. Karzai told a press conference in the capital Kabul that any effort to conduct peace talks individually is not an effort for peace, but it's a plot by the foreigners aimed at weakening Afghanistan. The Afghan president also said he has told the U.S. government during his recent visit to Washington that no foreign party must try to take the Afghan peace process on its hands. Karzai added that all talks with the Taliban militant group should take place under the government's appointed High Peace Council. However, foreigners have tried to sidestep the council. He called on all politicians to refuse the foreign offers, saying participating in peace negotiations without the government would weaken the nation. The United States invaded Afghanistan in 2001 under the pretext of fighting terrorism. The invasion removed the Taliban from power, but the country remains insecure despite the presence of tens of thousands of U.S.-led forces in the country. Meanwhile, Taliban says at least six U.S.-led troopers have been killed in a roadside bomb attack in eastern war-torn Afghanistan. The incident occurred when a tank belonging to foreign forces hit an improvised explosive device in Narh district of Wardak province. The U.S.-led NATO has not made any comments on the incident. More than eight U.S.-led soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan so far this year, as the total casualties stood at 3,257 since the start of the U.S.-led war in the country. Militant groups use improvised explosive devices, including roadside bombs, against Afghan forces, foreign troops, and even civilians. Cash-strapped Greeks are now fed up with the policies of their government, accusing their country's politician elites for the financial mess. McCulloch has a scoop.
Silence, persevering whispers, recycling predictions of a potential default of Greece on its sovereign debt. Some economists and international analysts have still not buried the hatchet. Earlier on, the tripartite government had successfully tabled in and passed through Parliament a non-precedential spending cut and tax hike bill. This was indubitably considered a clear token of unbridled will to stick to the roadmap of structural changes, cuts and contraction policies agreed upon with Greece's lenders. In this context, Greek people seem to embrace the prospect of staying in the Eurozone, but they are generally accusatory and clearly fed up with the political elite and the ruling political system. The group of economists still skeptical about the future of Greece in the common European monetary family claim that the math is still against the prediction and that key problems had been overlooked. Rubini, chairman of New York-based Rubini Global Economics, said in older remarks to the 2012 World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos that Greece would exit the euro. Other mild doomsayers include, among others, John Paulson, Goldman Sachs Group Inc. President Gary Kahn, Nobel laureates Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz, Pacific Investment Management Chief Executive Officer Mohamed El-Erian, Kenneth Rogoff and Martin Feldstein of Harvard University. But despite the ongoing debate that is still heated by a minority of economists, people back in Greece don't seem concerned by the debate. They want to stay in the euro, but they also want wrongdoers to pay the bill, not them. Other leading figures, such as Joseph Ackermann, who stepped down last year as chief executive officer of Deutsche Bank, Germany's biggest bank, do not fear the pessimistic minority view of previously mentioned economists. He underlined in a recent statement that he is confident that the Eurozone is broadly on the right track back to financial stability and economic strength, and that the contagion risks of Greece leaving the Eurozone were too great for everyone.
Despite the claims of Prime Minister Antonis Samaras that a Grexit cannot happen anymore, meaning Greece leaving the Eurozone, there is still a team of international economists who do posit there is a possibility that there are still some troubles ahead. Most analysts do agree, though, that everything will depend on the development indexes of the country, meaning that Greece will have to start producing again and then eventually get out to the international markets and start borrowing money. Lucas Dramanos, Shabaki Kabar, Aten.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of the IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.